You know, it's a good time. We exchange. We talk about the games that we did over the weekend, what plays came up, different plays. You know, matter of fact, as I was saying, I was running from one sub-varsity to a game to here tonight, and as soon as I went into the locker room, came in my uniform to get changed, I was talking with the official. I said, "We just had this play," and I happened to be in the middle on this game, you know, being the white hat, and there were three of us, and I said, "This is what I saw, and this is how I called it." And he said, "Okay, you got it right." I was like, "Phew." You know, so that was good. So, yeah. You know, it's you know, you work on instincts after a while. You
right.
So yeah. Many.
Excellent. Phil, I want to thank you for coming on. It's a great opportunity to sit down and gather the insights of how the officials see the game.
Right.
And with the various steps of preparation, because a lot of people go, "Oh, those game officials, they did it to us again," you know. And it's to keep the integrity of the game intact.
Right.
More than anything else.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So, we don't really want to put any, we're not here to draw any attraction. The game certainly isn't about us. You know, we're just here to enforce the rules.
So. If no one's talking about you, you guys had a great game.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what we say. You nailed it right on the head. You did.
All right, that's been Phil Brody, who is the clock official for tonight's game between Peabody and Dimmitt, which is still scoreless at the half. We'll be right back with second half action after these words.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, we're back here at Quiddy Field, where again it is halftime, and teams. I take it back. Damas is on the other side of the field. We're waiting for PBD to come back on. Again, once again, I want to thank Phil Brody for spending some time with us, giving us the officials' side of the story and how they prep and because again, that call again of clipping was one that I don't think I've called in 11 years of doing these broadcasts, Marty.
Yeah, it is something that you don't see. Not every day, not even every season.
But it's interesting how a new emphasis on the part of the referees and safety bring a call back into play once again.
Courtesy of Matt Williams of the Salem News, not much statistically in the first half. Danvers, 7 carries for 15 yards on the ground. And quarterback Justin Mullaney is 5 for 10 for 45 yards, and he's got one interception. Updating while you were away. And then Peabody has 18 carries for 36 yards. So the scoreboard, this isn't one of those games where the scoreboard isn't telling the story. The scoreboard's telling the story. It's a tremendous taffy pull down there in a defensive battle between these two teams as we await the arrival of the Tanners back out onto the field. And the scoreboard shows it. It's nothing here. We do have some out-of-town stuff we've been catching you up on around the halftime. The scoreboard update will be brought to you by Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plastown, New Hampshire. There's a there's a score there that would be
I'm going through my Twitter. I'm passing scores that, you know, that they're not as up-to-date as you've got on my score sheet.
Yeah, see?
I was
just shy of the half. The Salem Witches are pitching a 30-0 shutout over Essex Tech.
They're definitely sending a message after last week's
Where's
game.
That coming from?
And I think it may have been next door.
Okay.
Okay, so did you update these or am I this?
You may update them.
Okay,
I haven't
so
Moynihan
hands go up, but it looks like this. Beverly has gone ahead of Gloucester 8-7 on a Berry two-point conversion after scoring a touchdown. It is 0-0 here at the half. Salem 30-0, as Marty just mentioned. Marblehead 16-0 over Revere. We haven't gotten any scores from Classical English, Winthrop, or Ipswich. I saw a 7-0, but it said Ipswich 7, and then
New
nothing
report,
after.
Yeah, Ipswich 7, New report nothing at the half.
Okay, 7-0, halftime. Thank you, sir. Hamilton Wenham was 7-0 in the first. Haven't had an update on that. Linfield 20-0 over Wayland. They're getting whaled.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Masconavit still apparently 7-0 over Malden Catholic. St. Mary's welling away on Marion. 38-0 now. Boy, they're having some fun. And Everett over Leominster, surprise, 38-0.
In that Ipswich and
Newburyport
game. Newburyport has 61 yards of offense in the first half. Ipswich has 44. So it's a mirror of this one.
Wow.
Although the indication is that they're having a little bit more weather there than we had here. We had a little bit of rain to start the game off, but it cleared just after the coin toss and the opening kickoff, and this is an artificial turf field here, so it drained well. The people put their umbrellas away, and now they're waiting for the second half kickoff.
The reason for the cancellation of St. John's at Central Catholic was the field was flooding.
Oh.
There was a tweet of feed, a picture of one part of the field, a little awash, as we shall say.
Figure out if that's crunch us or not. Sorry about that. All right, so here's the kickoff to the Danvers Falcons to start the second half. It goes to Colby Holland, picks it up at the 25, sidesteps and stutters up, out of bounds at the 32. So it'll be first and 10 for Colby Holland and for John Mullaney and the Danvers Falcons as they'll move from our left to our right to start the second half. I don't know if that's us or not.
You know, Marty, no score, but Coach Betancourt has to be really pleased with the way his team played. That first half, they kept Danvers, one, off the board. Two, they moved the ball, so they know they can do that. It's just finishing it off now.
So first and 10, moving from our left to our right, the Danvers Falcons. With the backs in the eye behind Justin Mullaney. Single receiver to the near side is Taj Coakley. Ends are tight on both ends. And they fire to Coakley, timing pattern. He's got it up to the 40-yard line. And this time, Mullaney led Coakley up perfectly to the hash mark on the right side, and the gain is 8, and it is 2nd and 2.
Nicely executed play. Just trying to get him a little head of steam as he gets into the secondary. But again, good closure by Peabody to limit the damage on that. That looked at when the first pass was first thrown, looked like it could really, you know, break it open. But again, good pursuit. Good tackling, good bring down.
This football season, check out our weekly video football show as well here on msonewsports.com. 2nd and 2, backs again in the eye. It's a fake direct snap back to the tail, and instead it's the keeper for the quarterback, Mullaney, and he puts his head down. I think he's going to be short by about a yard, and he is. It's going to be 3rd and 1 for the Falcons. Trying to run through the middle of the line. Abe Caba there. And Daniel Cabela closing up the hole for the Peabody Tanners. So 9:45 in the third quarter. We have a scoreless football game here. Not much to comment on statistically as well in the first half.
Nick Cuckoo reporting Gloucester uncharacteristically sloppy with a ton of penalties, helping the Beverly cause.
Single receiver near side is Coakley once again. The back's in the eye. Behind Mullaney, goes for the long count, hangs onto it, dives ahead. Found a little bit of a seam on the left side and got down up to the 45-yard line. He needed one, he got four, and it's 1st and 10.
Well, Peabody brought the middle of the linebackers on a blitz, and Mullaney just waited for them to go past him, and he slid into the hole that they had occupied.
1st and 10, just shy of the 45-yard line, their own 45 for the Falcons. Send Colby Holland wide left. Now he switches sides with Taj Coakley, and he will come wide to the right. Coakley goes wide to the left. And Mullaney says, no, you're not supposed to go there. Get back. You're the tailback on this play. Remember?
He was rather emphatic about that.
Yes, he was. So after all of that, it's a broken play in the backfield. Mullaney's in trouble, and he is sacked. He is brought down at the 34-yard line, spun around and drilled by Cam Powers, who has been a nemesis for Mullaney so far in this football game.
There's another update from the Moynihan scoreboard. Hamilton Wenham now up 14-0.
So the ball's at the 34, and they need to go to the 45 the other way. So it's 16-5. It's 21 yards on third down for the Falcons. That whole play was kind of doomed from the start.
Yes, it was.
He couldn't get the players where he wanted them to. Then it looked like he was going to try to keep it. And then it looked like he wanted to roll back and pass and just had pursuit.
Yeah, Peabody was very disciplined in their pursuit of that play as well.
All right, so this time the handoff is to Holland.
Oh, nice tackle.
And he runs into a big blue wall, and he's dropped for a loss of about a yard. And that was second down, so it is third down now and 27. That's 10, that's 20, 24 make it. My math gets a little tricky when you have that many yards, you know, from one stick to the other.
Again, Peabody did a good job of clogging the lanes in the middle. They got good outside pursuit, and Abe Kaba made a very pronounced tackle on that play.
A very tall defensive line as well for the Tanners. On third down, this time with time, now there's pursuit, and the ball is up in the air, and it is incomplete.
Now, I'm going to tell you, if the side judge hadn't turned his back, he may have thrown a flag on Coakley because he took the defensive back who made the play in front of him. And I believe it was number two. And, I mean, just wrapped him up and hurled him out of bounds. A great read on that pass. White cut in front of Coakley and nearly had the interception, but you know, you got fourth down now. It's a long way. You're going to have good field position.
Zach Dillon will punt from his own 20-yard line, but there's a timeout on the field. The receiver will be Nolan Murphy, and he's at his own 35-yard line as the Peabody defense has drilled the Danvers offense back to the point where it is fourth down and 10, 20, 22, fourth and 22. From their own 33 for the Falcons, Captain Zach Dillon will be punting to get the ball off the punt, bounces at the 30, takes a good Danvers bounce, and it will be down at the 24-yard line. So it'll be first and 10. From the 24-yard line for the Peabody Tanners when they go on offense.
Yeah, Nolan Murphy did a good job of getting out of the way as that ball turned over for the Falcons and proceeded downfield. He didn't want to get anywhere near that ball.
So from the 33 one way, 17, 27, about a 29-yard exchange.
Yeah. You see, in a great exhibition of Peabody pride in their program, with the defensive manner in which they played this game tonight.
They're in, hands off to DeMeo. DeMeo turns the corner right side. He's got about 4 yards.
He's fun. He just gets the ball. He's like Heath Evans or any of those Patriot fullbacks. They don't carry it off, and when they do, it's like, I'm going to make you remember that I carried the ball and you tackled me. He just goes shoulder square. He's going to force himself through that hole.
He had a touchdown last week in the Peabody game against Somerville. 6:24, third quarter, clock running. And we have a scoreless football game here. Peabody with the football in their own territory. Second down and about six. And the handoff again goes to DeMeo. He breaks free and gets up to the 35-yard line. He'll be pulled down there. Actually, it's Taj Coakley that got him by the ankle, or otherwise
ride
he would have been
gone. Yeah. You know, ride the hot hand.
It's enough for the first down at the 35, their own 35 for the Tanners.
And DeMaio comes out for a breather.
Peabody moving from our right to our left. Just under 6 minutes to play in the third quarter.
Yeah, he's not Doug Santos, but he's getting yards every time he puts his hands on the ball.
Cam Powers wide to the right side. Three in the backfield. Handed off this time to Garitas. Garitas turns corner right side. He's got a couple, maybe 3 yards, up to about the 38-yard line. They'll put it down at the 38. He's had a pretty workmanlike evening, too, for Garitas. That's his third or fourth carry.
Yeah, he got on the hip of his right guard that pulled and was just waiting for a little bit of a hole to open, and he managed to squeeze through. Again, 3-4 yards at a whack. He continued to move the ball. He continued to control the ball, keep the hands out of Danvers.
Second and 6 for the Tanners. Handed off through a little scrum in the middle of the line. Still on his feet up to the 45. Bulls ahead to the 47, the 48, the 49-yard line.
No, that is so unnecessary a flag.
And
that was, he was finishing a block. He had his back to the play. He didn't know where the guy was, and he pancaked the guy. That was that's awful. That was awful.
You go all that effort. I'll let you set the table here for the call.
The running back again, big scrum coming through. One of the lead blockers got out in front, knocked the last guy down, and I mean, you know, he didn't even know that there was no whistle yet. Hadn't blown the whistle, played the play dead. And he puts the guy down, and the back judge throws a flag. Now you get backed up 15 yards. I'm sorry, that was a bad call. I'm not even going to ask Phil about that because, you know, I don't want to embroil him in controversy, but I just thought that was a needless flag, especially after the side judge doesn't see Coakley wrap up and throw the defensive back out of bounds.
So why are they moving the sticks? So they move the. So it's still
awful.
A first down.
I know they're
but now it's first and 10.
You know,
but they're
still.
Just starting from further back. Okay. At the 34, then, their own 34 for the Peabody Tanners. First and 10. Handoff again to DeMeo. DeMeo has his legs taken out from underneath him by Coakley. And the gain will be up to the 35-yard line. So the gain's a couple.
Now you got to go regain all those yards. You fought hard to get. You had offensive momentum going, and all of a sudden that one flag. You know.
4 minutes, 13 seconds to play third quarter, scoreless. I think this game has not been played totally between the 20s, but it has. I think there's been one series that's been down to about the 18.
Yep.
And I think the Falcons turned it over on downs at that point. Here's the ball carrier bringing it up. It's Garitas. Garitas. Cuts through the right side. He's had some success over there, and he'll get to the 40-yard line. So it'll be third down and 3.
I always remember when I see a bad call like that, just awful. Dave Cowens, the Celtics. I forget who they were playing, but he got called for a ticky-tack foul. And next time down the court, he drills the guy. He sends him with a two-handed shove about 20 yards down the court, looks at the official and goes, "Now that's a foul."
Timeout on the field for a couple of injured players, one on either side. So 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Since you give us an update of the scoreboard?
Well, right, nothing has basically changed since you got so far ahead of me.
Okay.
On my board, and let's see if something has come through in the meantime.
While you're doing that, we'll tell you where's the local news gone on the radio. You can find it here weekdays on North Shore Today and our 24/7 radio tab on the top left of our webpage here on msonewsports.com. The Peabody injured player is up and leaves under his own steam. The Danvers injured player is still on his back, but having his left leg looked at.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's a cramp. They got his leg up in the air, and they're pushing down on the toes. Okay, my innocuous score of the night, just as an update, Norwell 16, Cohasset 7.
Big rivalry.
I haven't gotten a score from Falmouth, Maine, so I can't give you my innocuous score from Jimmy.
Next Friday night here on MSO News Sports, Rick Moore will be here with Coach Paul Ingram and his Peabody hosts Marblehead next Friday night. Revere will be at Lynn Classical. North Reading will be at Lynn English on a doubleheader from Manning Field. We'll start those around 5 o'clock, I would say, next Friday. And then next Saturday, we'll be at Hurd Stadium, you and I believe, for Malden and Beverly.
Malden and Beverly. That'd be an interesting matchup.
We've seen a fair amount of Malden this season. Yeah, they've got the cramp worked out. And the injured player leaves under his own steam, but he's going to take this series off the for sure.
Halftime, Salem 30 to nothing still. 219 to 19 advantage in total yards.
Oh.
Wow. Sachem's up for real.
All right. So we'll reset it as third down and three for the Peabody Tanners. 3 minutes and 16 seconds. The clock is running here.
They're going to have sculling races in Lawrence tonight.
And the handoff goes again to DeMeo, cuts the right side. His first down yardage was really close, put that extra little bit of steam on, and dragged his tackler with him as he took Russell Cavanova for the ride of about another yard. So it's first and 10 for the Tanners from their own 44.
And I'm going to nickname him Mongo.
Mongo?
Yeah, because you don't want to shoot him. You only make him mad.
Mongo Jerry?
No.
In the summertime?
Mongo!
Hey, the humidity's
Mongo,
gone.
Blazing Saddles.
Ah.
Oh, don't shoot him. You'll only make him mad. Well, you know, calling a penalty like that after he had done a great job of helping Pebbly, Peabody move down the field like that, he's bringing real attitude to this possession in each carry.
Ramon Franco to the near side for the Tanners. Backs in the tight eye. Hand off. Nothing much there other than a tremendous second effort for the Tanners to get the ball up. That's Jake Souza, I believe, the ball carrier for the Tanners. And the gain is two, so it'll be second and eight.
Run straight, run hard.
With 2 minutes and 11 seconds, scoreless third quarter here.
Again, you know, for a nothing-nothing game, this game has had a lot of actions as both teams have moved about, I think, what, there's been two punts in the game?
Yeah, I think so. One interception.
So they're moving the ball. It's just that each defense stiffens up. And they're just holding off the other team.
Wing now right side. Hand it off. Fake the handoff. Quarterback Therrien holds on to the football. Flags everywhere. He got the ball up to the 48-yard line.
As soon as contact was made, flags started flying from both sides of the ball. So I don't know if there was a hold or what. Let's see.
The play is down after about a 2-foot gain, so whatever it is will be from the 47.
Holding.
Pick up one flag over there. And holding is the call against Peabody. 10 yards from the spot of the foul, which was nowhere near where the ball was, but that's okay. So now it is second down and 13 for the Peabody Tanners at their own 42-yard line, right hash mark, with 1:21 to play in the third quarter. Falcons trying to get the crowd into it. Matt McCarthy urging the Danvers fans to do something here. Here's Therrien rolling out left side, runs for daylight along the near sideline, and runs out of bounds at the 45-yard line. It got him about 3 yards and back to the original line of scrimmage, maybe one more from that. So it's third down and a long.
He wanted to roll out and get set up for a sideline throw to Ramon Franco, but he was pretty well covered, and he had no opportunity to get set up for a pass. Davis, again, defense, very, very quick laterally, and he had three guys on his heels, and he had never gotten a pass off it. He tried to square up and take a chance downfield.
So Matt Reedy is back in the football game for the Falcons after taking a couple of plays off. Cam Powers, single wide to the far side. Ramon Franco to the near side. Backs are split behind Therrien. Therrien fakes the handoff, rolls, doesn't get away from a tackle, and he's sacked back at the 34-yard line, drilled by Justin DiTomaso for the Danvers Falcons defense, and it will be fourth down and long for the Peabody Tanners. They're at their own 35-yard line. They need to get to the 45 the other way. So it's 10, about 20 yards, fourth and 20. So you're talking about defense on both sides of the both teams here.
Yes, it is. And you know, Peabody wasn't helped out by that first call for unnecessary roughness and then the subsequent offside and holding. So, I mean, the victims of their own demise in that.
Declan Russell's punt, high in the air, plenty of hang time, bounces at the 45-yard line and rolls out of bounds there. The intended receiver was Taj Coakley, but he was way back at the 30, so it is not horrible field position for Justin Mullaney and the Danvers Falcons, as they will be first and 10 from their own 45-yard line.
With the Vikings are down 20 to nothing in their game. Where are they? At Medford.
This year marks the 26th year of the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete Award. Moynihan Lumber, supporting academic and athletic excellence on the North Shore and bringing you the scoreboard updates this season on MSO News Sports. First and 10, Justin Mullaney, single wide to the near side. Pitches back to the tail, and it's Taj Coakley. Coakley to the line of scrimmage and drilled back. Double triple team, Nolan Murphy got him first. Abe Kaba got him down low, and there will be.
But I'll tell you, the guy who made that play was Eric DeMaio, as he was first man to chase and force Coakley to check up and go back into the middle of the field with three more Tanners coming behind him, made the tackle.
It's the end of the third quarter, and it's just like it was three quarters ago, nothing between the Peabody Tanners and the Danvers Falcons on MSONewsSports.com.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Mullaney finds Colby Holland on the completed pass, and it's a gain of 5 right to the midfield stripe as we've started the fourth quarter here between the Peabody Tanners, who are at home at Coley Lee Field at Veterans Memorial Stadium, and the Danvers Falcons. Peabody 0-1 coming into the game, the Falcons 1-0. And we've played over 33 minutes of football, and nothing has gone deeper than the 10-yard line. Justin Mullaney, 3rd and 5, twin receivers far side. Zach Dillon and Taj Coakley. Now we've got a flag on the play. They got too many men on the field. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, that would do it. And I wonder if he kind of knew that he shouldn't have been on the field, and that's why he was sort of on that formation over there with a pair of receivers, hoping he could just blend back into the bench.
Slide off the field.
Yeah. Into the hole that he wants to crawl into. So the 5 yards that they gained, they've lost on the penalty, 3rd and 10.
Yeah.
So 3rd down and 10 now for the Falcons. Set from the pistol for Mullaney. Rolls out right, looks downfield, has pressure, fires it. It is intercepted. Intercepted by the Peabody Tanners, Marcus Barker. Second pick of the football game for the Tanners. And
Zach Dillon but never got there. Ill-advised pass by Mullaney. Defensive back had position in front of him, and I think he was throwing that to a spot. And defensive back slid right in front. Again, opportunistic defense, making stops, getting turnovers, is keeping Peabody right here in this game.
Colby Therrien puts his team on offense. First and 10 from his own 41, the left hash mark, which is the far hash mark, as the Tanners will move left to right in a scoreless football game with 9:23 to play and the clock stopped. Ramon Franco wide to the left. Three backs in the backfield. Hand off to Eric DeMeo. DeMeo bowls his way ahead up to the 44-yard line. They're going to give him 45, I think, with the spot.
I have to wait to describe it. He's just bullying. He's going, as I've said throughout the game, he's going shoulder square into the line and just making opportunities for himself.
Elmany Vargas is the victim of the hit, is the guy who brought it down. Noah Friedman comes out for
Panthers. You've got to be sore after a game of trying to tackle that kid.
Yeah.
We don't have the size and weights on a lot of these kids. The coaches didn't provide that information on our rosters. It's sort of interesting to see how these guys stack up size-wise.
Peabody has taken timeout here with 8 minutes and 48 seconds to play in the football game. A scoreless tie, and we invite you to be sure to follow us on Twitter and download our new and improved MSO News Sports app for mobile access. And the technophobe that I am, I actually have the app and it works, and I can figure it out. So... And I didn't need the help of a five-year-old to help me do it.
That's the embarrassing part, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when I was teaching, I retired this past June, but I was always asking, how do I do this? What do I do now? They just come up and they go, okay, and done.
Second and six. Handoff, a misdirection right up the middle, up to midfield and pushed back. So PB will be just shy of the first down. The gain is five. They needed six, so it'll be third down and one. As Luis Garitas has a big pickup there for the Peabody Tanners. And Colby Therrien has, as the quarterback, has some pretty good focus. He hands the ball off and makes the play he's going to make. And while it's still rolling, he's on his way back to the sideline to get his next play call.
He's getting out of harm's way.
No, that could be too.
Quarterbacks don't block, you know.
Third and one, DeMeo slices through. He's got the first down. And we've been talking about him going up square. This time he did the head first slide into third. and if the field didn't drain as well as it would, you would have seen the splash trail come up behind him.
Yeah, you'd have seen him slide for an extra 3 yards.
First and 10 from the 49, 48 of the Falcons. For the Tanners, 7:47 in the football game. Ends are tight. Three backs stacked up behind Therrien. Hands it off to the tail. And that's Luis Garitas. And Garitas is met. He's going to be dropped. Loss of about two. He'll be pushed back over midfield and down to the 49-yard line. So it will be second down and about 13. So the loss is three. Back into the huddle goes Ramon Franco for Peabody. 7 minutes and 16 seconds. Clock continues to run here, and it is scoreless.
From the Moynihan update, Salem, 36-0 over Essex Tech. They just keep scoring.
We talked a lot last week about how many shutouts there were in the first week, and I think our consensus on our call was that we wouldn't see too many this week.
Yep, and
shows what we know. All right, here's the handoff, and the high-stepping Noah Friedman gets up over midfield and immediately gets drilled down. Zach Dillon gets him and hits the turf hard as well. So the carry is for five, and it's third down and eight.
Ten. I count and 10 shutouts so far.
And do you count
ongoing.
This one as two?
Yeah, I counted this one. That's true. That's true.
It is nothing.
Newburyport is tied up. Where are they? Ipswich, 7-7.
Flanked off left is Eric DeMeo. Backs are split behind Therrien. Hands the ball off around for Noah Friedman. Runs the big umbrella left side. He's going to run out of room before he can turn the corner. He's going to be pushed out of bounds at the 49-yard line. Another loss for the Tanners.
Now, the Tanners have had their best success going in between the tackles.
because when they get when they want to run the sideline, they've been good at the sideline passes.
Yes.
But when they try to run the sideline, the entire white wall of the Danvers defense stays with them, and they can never get that turn and start to come up. So there's a loss here, and it's fourth down and 12.
Now, Danvers has just been too quick. I mean, the first play of the game demonstrated that how quick laterally they were when they shut down the first attempted sweep, and they've done it every time since.
So the Falcons will be punting the football from the from their own 39-yard line. It's Zach Dillon waiting, gets the laces up, puts some air underneath the football. It bounces at the 20. It is fielded at the 15-yard line by the Peabody Tanners, and there'll be no return, a return of about a yard for that. A very nice special teams coverage downfield by the Danvers Falcons.
Yeah, Kolke thought he could make something of that. The ball got downfield very, very quickly and was heading to the far sideline, and it bounced up. It would appear it would have been down probably about the 12. He decided to make an effort out of it, and he got a couple of yards. But again, the ball was up in the air just long enough for PBD coverage to get downfield and make the tackle. So now Davis will start deep in their own territory.
Yeah, oh. Nolan Murphy, we got a flag on the play. I must be having a hard time finding them tonight.
Holding call on Peabody.
So they're going to replay fourth down. Well, that wasn't such a terrible outcome if you're Peabody on the last. Or Danvers on the, Peabody on the last one. But Danvers is going to make him kick over again. Here's the snap. The kick is
better kick.
High. And it will bounce at the 30. And this time fielded cleanly again there by Taj Coakley. On his feet up to the 40-yard line. I didn't really think that he was going to get anything out of that.
I didn't either. He's just so elusive, and using those quick little hop steps, and he got himself in between a couple of would-be tackles, and watching one of the PBD 10 is kind of struggle off with a tweak in his shoulder.
So the ball right at the 40-yard line, first and 10 for the Falcons. Ryan Nolan's team.
Yeah, it's a player that PBD can really ill afford to lose. Cam Powers.
So first and 10 from their own 40 for the Danvers Falcons. Clock is a factor. 4 minutes, 44 seconds. Two wides, far side. Snap is a little high. Quarterback Mullaney gathers it in, gets to the 40-yard line, and nothing there. Not sure that was the design of that play necessarily.
Yeah. Well, it was a high snap. He brought it down, and he just took off. Number 54 for Peabody, linebacker Phil Mikosi, sophomore, nearly had him 4 or 5 yards deep in the backfield, but he managed to elude that and basically get back to the line of scrimmage. A little bit of a loss. 4:12 left in the third quarter.
Matt McCarthy comes in for the Falcons. John Strange in as well. Twin receivers near side. Taj Coakley to the far side. Under center is Mullaney. Looks. Fires it over far side for Coakley. Takes three steps up, and he'll be drilled and dropped at the 47-yard line. Taken there by Marcus Barker, who had the interception the last time. On the last possession that the Falcons had, Tyler Norman also in on the tackle, so it is third down and 2 as the ball's nestled on the 48-yard line on the far hash mark for the Falcons, and we've got whistle on the field to put the clock in motion with 3:22.
Dylan Lockers pounded in from 3 yards out to put Gloucester back in the lead, 13-8, with 4:06 left in the third.
Third and 2, the back's in the eye. Hand it off to Taj Coakley, and he will get first down yardage. Needed to get to midfield, got to the 48, going the other way. And as I'm looking over your shoulder, I would like to just note that it's nice to see Mike Rennie writing again this year.
Yes, yep.
For the Salem News.
Geez, I wonder where he'll be tomorrow.
Ah. At the 49-yard line of Peabody for the Danvers Falcons. 2 minutes and 51 seconds, clock running. Scoreless football game. This is the fourth quarter. Backs again in the eye. Hand it off again to Coakley. Make that McCarthy. Comes near side. Breaks free. Heads down. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. He's at the 10. Breaks the last tackle. Touchdown.
Well, they got the seal on the outside of the line. And he just busted it on an angle into the near corner of the end zone. Outstanding run. He outran the secondary. First time that Peabody hasn't closed down that outside and got a hand on the running back. That was just a blitz play.
2 minutes and 36 seconds to play in the football game. Matt McCarthy's 48-yard touchdown run makes it 6-0 here. And Zach Dillon will kick the point after. Out of the hold of Justin Mullaney. Set for the long snap. Here comes the snap. It's down. The kick is up. And it is between the uprights. So Dillon's kick is good. And we are at 7-0 with 2 minutes and 36 seconds to play here in the football game with Danvers now on top of Peabody.
Oof. That happened in a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the first big run we've really seen in the football game.
It's yes,
the first time the ball's been inside the 10.
Yep. Yeah, and it was just a bang bang play. That was the quick hitter off the left side, and he just get into the second level so quick with the Peabody defense. That had to be something that Coach Nolan had to have seen. That his assistants up top here must have spotted a particular defense, and again, that play they knew would hopefully work against it, and they got the right guy with the ball in his hands, and again, they made the most of it.
And it's interesting because Mullaney's been going to Coakley almost exclusively. And so Coakley was drawing some of the coverage as well that opened up the opportunity for McCarthy to come downfield. So now Danvers will kick the football off from the tee at the 40-yard line. And here is the kick, and it is fielded cleanly by Nolan Murphy for the Peabody Tanners. And they'll get up to the 30-yard line, about a 20-plus yard kickoff return. So it'll be first and 10 for the Peabody Tanners at their own 29-yard line. 71 yards and 2 minutes and 30 seconds is the task at hand for the Peabody Tanners.
Well, here's a test for, again, Coach Benton, Coach team. How do you respond to that particular play?
Our weekly North Shore Sports Talk Show is North Shore Sports Night, Monday evenings at 7 and available on demand as well here on msonewsports.com. First and 10 from his own 29 for Colby Therrien. Two wides near side, single receiver to the far side from the pistol for Therrien. Fires it. It's another one of the laterals. Comes to the near side, taken for Cole Cuzzy. Cuzzy wants to turn the corner, and he's stretched out and dropped down. He'll be taken down by Zach Dillon for the Danvers Falcons. The gain is 3 forward and about 40 left to right. So second down and 7 for the Tanners. 2 minutes and 4 seconds. We'll be at the 2 minute warning here momentarily. Single wide to the near side for the Peabody Tanners is Elijah White. Back to throw again. Flags on the play, and I think the Danvers team is celebrating, so it's probably going to go against the Tanners, if you can trust that it is. It's offside Peabody. So what was going to be second and 8 is now second and 13.
Again, you can't make, you know, just a little mistakes now. We'll go and get you big. Well, the Beverly-Gloucester seesaw continues. Clark Marchand broke a 58-yard run. First score, Panthers back on top, 15-13.
Back to throw is Therrien. Fires it, and it is complete, but they'll stay in bounds as it's complete to the near sideline for Cole Cuzzy. And I think Peabody's going to take a timeout. They've got a minute and 25 seconds here in the football game, and it sets up a third down and 6. And Peabody has taken timeout. You can email us with any comments or concerns and suggestions at msonewsports@gmail.com.
All right, got a couple of updates. As I said, Beverly back over Gloucester 15 to to 13. Newburyport has just gone ahead of Ipswich 10 to 7. Hamilton Wenham still leads North Reading. It's 21 to 6.
Hmm. Scoreboard update brought to you by Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. From the shotgun again, Therrien looks, stutters, fires it downfield. It is complete to Cuzzy, and Cuzzy has first down yardage. He's just shy of midfield at the 49-yard line. So
nice.
First and 10 from their own 49.
Nice job by Cuzzy. Get into a seam of the defense down along the near sideline to us, and ball laid perfectly.
This could be Hail Mary territory. We're at a minute and 11 seconds here. Peabody is at their own 48-yard line. They've got 52 yards in a minute to do something about it. A fresh set of downs, first and 10. Therrien, look, has pursuit. Has to cut to the near side. On his feet at midfield, and he's dropped. He'll get about 2 yards on the carry. Justin DiTommaso cuts him under his feet, and it will be second down and 8. And Peabody is going to take a timeout here. The ball right at midfield on the near hash mark.
That was a solid open field tackle, as they would say. Lined him, squared him up and brought him down. Again, that could have gone for big yardage because the whole flow of the play had gone to the far side to the left. And a lot of roaming room.
55 seconds remaining on the scoreboard clock, which is the official time. It's kept in the press box.
And well, it would have been beneficial in that play for Peabody. Therrien could have gone down the field, probably another 10 yards, stepped out of bounds, killed the clock.
Yeah. And I think his intention was to unload the ball, but he couldn't. There wasn't anybody that was open for him to go get it.
Well, one of the problems was both receivers were side by side along the sideline with one guy guarding both of them.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody broke clear.
Yeah, the offense isn't supposed to double team the defense.
No.
Second and 8. When they put the clock in motion, it will be 55 seconds. Falcons make their way from the far sideline in their huddle. The Peabody Tanners have Eric DeMeo in the backfield with the quarterback, Colby Therrien. Therrien looks, fires a long, long, long one downfield, and it's incomplete. Incomplete. The intended receiver downfield was Elijah White.
And the sideline is, let's see, was there a flag? There is a flag.
There's a flag.
The defender ran into the receiver as he waited for the ball, and he did not turn and look. You can't face mask him. And let's see if that's going to be the call. Now, again, it was not thrown by the side judge who was right there at the play. It was thrown back up in the on the field. Dead ball foul.
Unsportsmanlike. Oh, for excessive celebration.
Wow.
I did see that because I saw it after the incomplete was given. A couple of guys in white were taunting the Peabody bench. That is not going to be pretty in the coach's film this week. So, it puts the ball in the 35-yard line. Are you packing up? Yes. Okay. First and 10 from the 35. Back to throw is Therrien. He's in trouble. He gets a good block. Fires it down into the end zone. It is incomplete. Incomplete in the corner of the end zone. Intended receiver Dylan Peluso had tremendous coverage on him back down there by his by Taj Coakley. And it went incomplete. He was in the far side of the end zone. So it is second down and 10 for the Tanners with 40 seconds to play in the football game.
That would have been a highlight film for the ages had he brought that in.
The ball's at the 35 of the Danvers Falcons for the Peabody Tanners.
All right, I'm going to head down, buddy.
Okay. I'll see you later.
All righty.
Yep. All right. On. Okay. Okay. Therrien, with a little bit of time, has to scramble now. Fires downfield into the batted down. Batted down at about the 2 yard line. Matt Reedy got up in front of the receiver and batted the ball down. A little bit of a height advantage for Reedy. Went way up and batted it down, and it's now third down. Might as well be third and goal at the 33 yard line. Check that, make it the 35-yard line. There's 33 seconds to on the scoreboard clock. 7-0. Danvers leads. They scored with 2:36 to play in the fourth quarter. A 48-yard touchdown run by Matt McCarthy. Zach Dillon's kick is good, and it's 7-0, and that's where we are with 33 seconds remaining here for Colby Therrien. As DeMayo with him in the backfield. Oh, my. Receiver on the far left side. He was 5 yards into the secondary. So it's offsides against Peabody. It'll move him back 5 yards, and it will be third and 15 from the 40. Still 33 seconds left. The ball at the hash mark near side at the 40-yard line. We went three quarters and 7.5 minutes of the fourth quarter before anybody changed the zeros on the scoreboard. Third and 15 for the Tanners. Therrien with DeMayo in the backfield. Snap is low. Therrien gathers it in. Looks, fires it again. Long downfield. It is out of bounds and batted down on the far sideline. Intended receiver again, Cole Cuzzy. Coverage by Taj Coakley. Back down there along with Matt Reedy. And it is now fourth down and 15. 26 seconds. And for the Tanners, this is the football game. Fourth and 15, the ball at the 40. 26 seconds on the clock. 7-0 Danvers lead on what turned out to be a fairly pleasant Friday night here at Coley Lee Field, Veterans Stadium in Peabody. Twin receivers the far side, twin receivers the right side. The pistol with Therrien. Rolls back. This time has time. Fires the short one. It's intercepted. Pulled down by Colby Holland. And he was the only one in the neighborhood of that football. So the 19 seconds and the interception on 4th and 15 gives the Falcons the football. And their 7-0 lead. Colby Holland just had that one thrown to him as a birthday gift. And it will be first and 10 for the Peabody Tanners. The ball is at their own 27-yard line. Their mission is to protect the football. 19 seconds on the clock. And I would suspect we will see the knee because they do have to put the ball into play to get this thing in motion. Justin Mullaney under center. Everybody guarding the football. Mullaney takes it, takes two steps back, and takes a knee. So with 15 seconds, the clock will continue to run here. Teams will get ready in their huddle. It's been a little bit of congratulations. Almost like, not quite the hockey center ice huddle, but that is going to be the football game here as the clock will run out and our final score from Coley Lee Field in Peabody as the Danvers Falcons 7 and the Peabody Tanners nothing on MSONewsSports.com.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Be sure to check out North Shore Sports Night every Monday night at 7. The North Shore Sports Talk Show with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns.
Marty Smith with Tim Kearns here at Coley Lee Field, Veterans Memorial Stadium in Peabody, where the Danvers Falcons have just defeated the Peabody Tanners by a score of 7-0. First quarter, no score. Second quarter, no score. Third quarter, no score. Fourth quarter, 2 minutes and 38 seconds to play in the football game, and a 48-yard touchdown run by Matt McCarthy, running from the left side, just over midfield, came down the left sideline, cut back in, got away from a tackle at around the 10-yard line, and went in right in the E of Peabody in the far end zone. Makes it 6-0. Zach Dillon's point after was good. 7-0 is the final score. And for a game that had only one touchdown, it was a thoroughly entertaining football game. Very enjoyable here from Coley Lee Field in Peabody. You've been listening to High School Football Northeastern Conference, NEC North. Danvers goes to 1-0, 2-0 on the season. Peabody goes to 0-1 in the conference and 0-2 in the season. Join us again next Friday night as we'll have football as Marblehead comes here to Coley Lee Field in Peabody is our game on this channel. And then Revere and Lynn Classical and North Reading at Lynn English, a doubleheader next Friday night, also on MSO News Sports. Final score here from Peabody is the Danvers Falcons 7 and the Peabody Tanners nothing. You've been listening to High School Football on MSONewsSports.com. Okay, I'm right in your way, aren't I?
No.
Got rained out.
Yeah.
Saturday, tomorrow night, 7:45.